Phil Henry in for Gil Gross here, and really, really appreciative of that, Gil. A terrific guy, and it's great to talk to his fine audience here this afternoon. And if you just for a moment would bear with me, I'd like to...
Well, we have the information, right?
You know, let me introduce, first of all, we have Margaret Gray with us. Margaret, how are you doing?
I'm fine. And you know something? We should definitely tell people that I am an entertainment writer in my own right.
Well...
No, not well anything.
Just shut up, bud.
An entertainment writer in my own right. My husband, Frank Gray, is an entertainment lawyer. And if we do talk with Frank later on, and I'm sure we will, I want everyone to know that he suffers from a condition called gender confusion. It confuses people. Frank is a wonderful man, but there was an untreated, shall we say, I don't know, general?
Well, let's just say he was a young man once, and he got around. And he caught a bug. Yes, he caught a bug, and it went to the brain.
Yeah, and he has gender confusion. That, enough said there. So, the song that I attempted to sing, You Better Be Good to Be My Tina Turner, I will try to attempt it again. I apologize for that.
All right. So Margaret's with us also. Robert Leonard is with us. Robert?
Yeah.
And Robert is a young man who you own, your father owned 5 or 6 service stations in L.A. You and your brothers now own something like 6 or 7, right?
No.
Yeah, how come you're down here doing this? You could be kicking it.
I'm not going to kick it, man. I remember my roots.
All right. And Bud Leonard, or Bud Dickman, who doesn't do anything, he just sits there.
Bud Leonard, yeah, right.
Now you wish, man.
No, no.
All right, so you don't do anything, you just sit there. And General Galen Shaw.
Yes, thank you very much. And by the way, want to say hello to a lot of buddies of mine at San Francisco Bay Area, a lot of good guys I knew and served in the knob with there up there and everything like that.
All right. We want to mention to people that if you'd like to know a little bit more about Phil Henry, you can visit our website, philhenryshow.com. We do a daily podcast, which is available on SoundCloud, on iTunes. It's available on TuneIn. As a matter of fact, each and every day on TuneIn, our Phil Henry channel is running 24/7, the Phil Henry Show. We also are on our website, which is philhenryshow.com. We stream our show. We have a live video cast, or I should say a video cast. It's not live, but it is available for download. So every show we do, we video cast it. As a matter of fact, just for kicks, we're video casting this right now.
All right. So is this live right now?
For our subscribers, if they wanted to look at our subscribers, which we hope you'll become one, they can go to our website right now and take a look at what we're doing here. It's just me in front of the camera with the...
Well, there's the ocean behind you, right? Is that it?
Yes, it's blue and moving. Oh, wow.
I know it's the ocean.
Well, then why did you ask...
Yes, that's the ocean, General.
All right.
And, it's blue and moving around.
You know something? You people want to be smartasses. I didn't know whether that was the ocean... That's the ocean. Forget it.
No, that is the ocean.
I know it's the ocean. But what I'm saying is...
That's a recording of the ocean. Is that what you wanted to ask?
Yes.
Right. That's not the real ocean. That's a videotape of the ocean. But it is the ocean that's right out behind our studios here.
Yes, so that people know that you have a very comfortable, and I would say, upscale studio, right?
No, I wouldn't say we have an upscale studio at all. I think we're in a rather working-class area here.
Oh, come on, Phil. Don't try to play it like you're some kind of an everyman. You're kicking it on the beach.
No, I'm not. All right, now what happened here with Stills? Okay, so if you want to go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, check it out. You can become a subscriber, and there's all kinds of fun things you can have there. You can have the all-access pass. You can have the audio-only pass. You can get a 6-month subscription. You can get a year subscription. You can get
get a 6-month subscription.
You can get a 6-month subscription.
Get a year subscription.
Get a year subscription.
You already said that.
You can get a monthly subscription is what I'm trying to say. And it's all there at philhenryshow.com.
Now, tell people, because I think this is very... If you want to pay for Hulu and whatever that other crap is that you... I don't do that.
Yeah, I have Amazon. I got all of that stuff, man. But everybody pays for content. Everybody pays for online content. Amazon is online. Hulu, YouDoo, MeDoo, SheDoo.
Yeah, all of the things that you get on your television are internet.
Yes, it's all internet delivered. So... Our show is just one more in a series of, and I think personally, if you're going to go digital, baby, there's other than porn, ours is the best buy online. Bud Dickman.
Hey.
Thank you.
What a thing to hang your hat on, God almighty.
Well, I mean, the fact is, it is. It's the best value online other than porn. Okay, so...
That having been said,
I think we're all squared away on the clock here. If you're listening, I apologize for carving up the first hour there, but we were getting our bearings here. We are going to get Bob Green on the line. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods, and Fraser Foods is a grocery store chain that's located in Buena Park, California. Now, a couple of incidences involving Bob and his store that were of interest here over the last few years, and I wanted to bring him on and recap some of those, because I think all of the legal has been finally solved. You know how long it takes?
Jesus, you're talking about the civil.
Oh, yeah, the civil action.
Yeah, that stuff goes on forever. And not only that, but you talk about expensive. Brother, it'll siphon the... Man, I'll tell you, legal...
Civil action.
Yeah, the civil action will suck the blood right out of you. And you never know, you know? It's amazing.
In fact, Frank Gray, Margaret's husband, who we were just talking about, we got him on the line here very quickly, if we could, Frank, because you have been... you're an entertainment attorney, but you're not unfamiliar, sir, with the legal system, and certainly not unfamiliar with the civil actions. As an entertainment attorney, are you more often suing people, or are you being sued?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say good morning, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm better than Custer. And it's...
Well, it's afternoon now, Frank.
I say that again?
It's afternoon.
Oh, all right. I apologize. Anyway, a very pleasant afternoon to you, Phil, and to you, Margaret, and General.
Good afternoon, Frank.
I'd say the answer to your question is an unequivocal... we were sued once by a movie actress by the name of Melanie Habanala, and he was a hot-looking young lady. He'd been nude in the magazine, showed the big, you know what I mean. And one of my clients was a stand-up comic by the name of Sonny Wells. Do you know her, Phil?
No, I've never heard of him. No.
All right. Well, she was a guy that was very funny, and she made some cracks about this Melanie Habanala, saying that he had the big, you know, and everything, and she said that he was a good-looking woman, and that he wouldn't mind if he didn't mind, she'd like to take him out, and she even said that she would marry him. It was just the fact that she didn't want to marry a slut, and that's what he looked like, see?
So you're talking about Sonny Wells.
Sonny Wells was this comic, yeah, that was represented by my firm. She was very funny, very, very funny guy. But she made some jokes on stage about Melanie Habanala and said that he looked like some kind of a big-boobed nothing. And so we were sued by his attorneys. And his attorney said that Ms. Habanala was a sweet, tender young thing, and all he wanted to do was pose nude in front of cameras and go home and get into a bubble bath like any young woman would. And he was sitting in his bubble bath one day, and he saw this report that Sonny had called him a two-bit slut, you know, and all this stuff. So that's when the lawsuit came.
All right, how long did that take to finalize?
Oh, that went on for years. Years and years and years. And then I went home one night. I'll never forget, Margaret was there. I remember I came home to Margaret and I said to him, I can't take it any longer. I need a vacation. And he said, well, why don't you and me and the Delmonico go off to Big Bear?
Now, the Delmonico, for people who don't know, that's your son.
Yeah, she's just now turned 15. And so I went off to Big Bear Lake with my wife and my son. And I remember he took her off, and they went water skiing, and then she, of course, had to get back for her football practice. But Margaret stayed at the lake and bellied up to the bar there at Chad's place. I don't know what the hell she did.
I wasn't bellying up to the bar at Chad's place. I was up there with some of the other gals. You had to go back for business.
Oh, that's right. He was with the other gals. But, yeah, I took the Delmonico back with me because she had football practice. And when I got back to town, I felt like I wanted to tear my head off, so I dumped my kid off, and I watched her play football, and then I went back up to the lake to be with my wife, and he and I stayed there for a week. What's wrong?
Nothing. I sometimes we have to kind of... I tell you what I'm going to do, Frank. I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to be right back at you, and can you hold on?
Yeah, I can...
All right, Frank Gray with entertainment news. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, filling in for our great friend Gil Gross. And now here is Dina Lawrence with the traffic. All right, it's Phil Hendry for Gil Gross. Margaret, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. And this was the song that I had promised you. I know that Frank is on the line, my husband, Frank. You know this one, don't you, Frank? Frank, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I know this one.
Well, don't get too excited, all right?
Oh, for God's sake. You know, he's been singing this song.
Hold on. A prisoner of your love.
Jesus.
All right, forget it then. Turn it off.
Oh, it's all right. I've been listening to this song. He's been singing this around the house, Phil.
Well, but let her sing it, okay?
Go ahead.
Well, you've already carved it up, Frank. You've turned it into garbage at my feet, so forget it.
Okay, so what, is he going to get upset now? This is when you're married to a beautiful woman, especially a woman like him. I got to, you know.
You know, I want to say something. You with that gender confusion's flipping me out.
What's that? I can't understand you.
All right, turn it off, will you, for crying out loud?
Thanks a lot, Phil. Once again, egg on my face till it drips off my chin, and I've got a towel off. And who do you know does that kind of thing for a living? Excuse me.
Oh, God.
Man, Ms. Gray.
Well, I'm sorry.
You know.
Hey, let me tell you, you ought to live with it, my man, because that is, I hear that all the time. She's always talking about it dripping off her chin. And I'm the kind of guy...
All right, enough. By the way, you said she instead of he.
All right, see, there is some improvement. Now, where is he?
You just slipped back.
Yeah.
Margaret?
I'm toweling off!
All right, anyway, thank you very, very much, Frank, for that. So the ultimate thing that we wanted to get from Frank was how long it takes for a lot of these civil suits, you know.
Where's Frank? I want to talk to him.
I hung up on him.
Well, what the hell are you doing?
I hung up on him. So it takes a long time for these civil suits to get finished. And what happened here with Bob Green, who's joining us here on our newsmaker line, about the... There were two lawsuits, Bob, that, as far as I know, involved your grocery store there, or at least one of the grocery stores, and I think it's your main store there in Buena Park, correct?
Yeah, Phil, it was our Buena Park store, and it was a store... you know, this is where we founded Fraser Foods. And this is the place where it all, you know, you might say it all happens. We are I think that we are the kind of people who enjoy making sure that you have the very finest in quality 7 days a week. And we also like to help people, you know, the shopping experience. We want it to be a good shopping experience. So that's why I... said what I said.
Now, this was in a few years ago, about 2005, I think. A lady walked into your store, and what happened?
Nothing happened. She was a woman that was standing at, one of the produce bins. It might have been cantaloupes or oranges or something, and she was, to break the tension, because, you know, you want your customers to feel relaxed.
No, I want in on this. What tension?
Oh, a minute ago, you were running out of the studio there.
Don't worry about it.
What tension?
People are intimidated when they come into a grocery store and they see the manager or they see the... Excuse me for a minute. I'm sorry, Phil, but I've had a very tough time. I've been taking Zantac.
I understand. You don't have to do that on the air.
Well, yes, I did, because it was either that or my throat explodes. You want that?
No, I don't.
All right.
No, he did it to be crude.
That sounds to me like you did it on purpose, Green.
All right, well, you think what you want, General. You know, you're a retired U.S. Army general, so I guess you get to think whatever you want to think. But my whole point is...
Can I interrupt and ask something for a minute?
What?
What is it with everybody on this show having a hard time with these guests?
These guys, because they're all a bunch of ego cases, that's why.
There, you said it. The General said it. They all think it's about them.
Am I the guest?
Yes, you are.
No, it's not about you.
Am I the guest?
You are the guest.
All right. So it's not about you, it's about me. I'm the guest, not you.
All right, you're the guest. You don't have to run it into the ground. You know, you don't use that as a weapon. You're the guest, yes. That doesn't mean that you're a rusty nail that you're sticking right up...
Yeah, right up there.
Hey, don't worry about it, friend. If I ever want to stick it right up there, you'll know about it. Guarantee.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, fine. Now that we've got all of that vulgarity out of the way...
Well, Phil, let the record show.
Now that we've got all the vulgarity out of the way, hold on for a minute. I got a message coming in. Now that we have all the vulgarity, I got a message coming in. Phil, you might as well give up what you're doing. Go back to the paper route. Go ahead.
Are you kidding?
Yes, of course I'm kidding. Go ahead.
All right. So what I was going to say is when a customer comes into the grocery store, and the customer is saying, they're intimidated when they see the manager. They're intimidated when they see the produce manager, because in the world of grocery stores, now just follow me here. In the world of grocery stores, the manager, the produce manager, the checkers, we are like the movie stars. We're like the celebrities. Now, I know you find that funny.
Well, so what are you saying? People ought to start licking you up one side and down the next?
Wait, hold on. I'm not saying, but I'm saying that it is natural for people to feel shy and, they don't want to approach you and ask you for help. So when I saw this lady standing there at the melon bin or wherever she was, and she looked as if...
You keep saying the melon bin. Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke, ma'am. I thought as I recall, she was at a cassava bin or at a honeydew at a melon, one of our big melon barrels. And
so you keep the melons in barrels there?
Yeah, we do. Is this germane to anything, Phil?
All right, Margaret, let him finish.
I think this is all goes into the lawsuit.
How do you figure this goes into the lawsuit?
You keep all the melons in a barrel. There's a certain subtle messaging going on there.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
Come on, Margaret, let the guy finish.
So anyway, I walked up to her, and I know that they're intimidated, and I know that they don't really want to talk to the manager or to the... because they think we're big stars in the grocery store world. In the grocery store world. Out there in the real world, you wouldn't want to walk up to the guy. You were just talking about one of them, Phil. What's this guy, this Little Drake or Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah, big music stars.
Right. In the grocery store world, you sheepishly walk up to the guy that manages the produce.
You know, that's...
All right, you laugh if you want to, okay?
That just sounds goofy to me, that's all.
All right, it may sound goofy, but... So I went over to her so that I could break the ice, and I said to her, as a joke, Phil, I said, can I show you where the corn is? And that's when she wheeled around and looked at me and said, what she said.
Well, what did you say to her?
I said, can I the lawsuit.
I do. I just want to have you reiterate it.
Can I show you where the corn is?
Okay, that was the...
Everybody makes the big deal out of that.
All right, hold the line here. We do have to take a break. We're going to go to more traffic and news, but Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, had to settle a lawsuit of sexual harassment when he said to a woman in his store, can I show you where the corn is? And I, for my part...
Well, it sounds a little... It sounds trivial, but at the same time, if that was my wife, I would have sent Green, because he's only about 5'3", and I would have sent him... In orbit, I would have said, can man really live in the vacuum of space? Let's see, shall we? Boom.
All right. Thank you very much, General, for that.
Well,
let's go now on the Gil Gross Show. This is Phil Henry filling in here this afternoon. Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you very much. In for Gil Gross. It's the Phil Henry Show here. On the line with me from Fraser Foods here in Buena Park is our friend Bob Green. A lot of folks, Bob, we are... on the air for Gil Gross this afternoon. And so there's a lot of people who are not familiar with the, the problems, huh?
Well, a lot of people, and I'm very happy to be able to talk to them. There's a lot of us a lot of you folks listening, you don't know what, and I do am grateful to have the opportunity to explain to them, Phil, before they hear the press on this or read the press on this. I walked up to a woman innocently in our store, and I said, can I show you where the corn is?
All right, now Margaret has a question here.
Yeah, and I don't mind answering a question from you, Margaret, if you can be respectful of me.
I am going to be respectful of you, but I have to ask this from the standpoint of a woman. Now, you said that in your store and in the world of grocery stores, the produce manager and the manager and the checkers are like movie stars. Is that what you said?
No, I did not say that.
Well, yes, you did, Green.
Whoa. No, I didn't. I said... celebrities. There's a difference.
All right, so like the grocery store is a society unto itself, and the celebrity in the grocery store is the produce manager.
Yeah, that's right, Phil. And, you guys may not understand it. Maybe it's because you're jealous.
you know.
Jealous of what? That I'm not a produce manager at your store?
Are you kidding me, Grain? You think I'm jealous of you walking around with an apron on?
You know what? You don't even get it.
No, I guess I don't get it.
All right, before we get into all of this, so you walked up to this woman thinking that she would be intimidated?
Excuse me, I think I was asking the questions.
You're absolutely right, Margaret. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it, Phil. Back down to a woman.
Hey, hold on.
No.
Oh, whoa. Hold on. Green, we're not going to get anywhere if you keep throwing these asides in.
I keep throwing in the asides?
Yeah, I've got my crew under control here. I'd like you to... That was unnecessary.
What was?
Back down to a woman, Henry.
Well, I mean, for God's sake, you know, she's telling you what it is.
She was right. She was asking questions.
The question that I have, Bob, is you walked up to this woman thinking she would be intimidated by your celebrity status as the store manager.
Yes, and let me just repeat back to you the answer in the tone that you gave it to me as a question. Yes, I ended up doing it, and I did it.
Okay, Bob, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm just going to say it the way she said it. She said it with an attitude.
Of course I said it with an attitude. It sounds asinine.
Yeah, you talk about you're all a big star and everything on account of you wear the apron.
I don't think I'm a big star because I wear an apron. I'm a celebrity. Forget it.
All right, let's move past that, can we? So you went up to her and you said, can I show you where the corn is?
As an icebreaker.
What do you get off, Green, talking to a woman who may be married to a guy or might have a boyfriend standing by, and you say, hey, can I show you where the corn is?
See, a lot of the people listening don't get it, and I'm not going to explain it.
Well, I'd be happy to explain it.
No, you don't have to explain anything. You don't have to explain anything.
All right, well, I said it, and I said it as a joke. Joke. J-O-K-E. Joke. Get it?
No, I mean, you gotta understand, Mr. Green, some things are not funny, you know. Now, what if she did have a boyfriend standing by?
She did. She had her husband standing there.
Yeah, no, she had a husband there. We're gonna talk to him, in fact. His name is Larry, not Larry. What is this guy's name?
Harold.
His name is Harold Brewster. And they live in Tustin, California. We're going to get Harold on the line here to tell us his version of these events.
Well, you know, we don't need to pick through it because I settled the lawsuit, okay?
No, I know. And do you mind giving us the terms, or are you able to?
No, well, I'm able to, but I'm not allowed to. This is, and let me just say one thing. I wanted to publicize the terms of this. I wanted to, but my lawyer said, no, you better not. Because
it'll look like what it was. You paid her off.
No, you know something. You don't know anything. All right, you don't know anything, but all right,
You better not do it, man. It's, you know, you're going to have your own attorneys going to be upset.
Well, they won't care. The other side won't care.
All right, let me get this guy on, Harold Brewster. Do you have this gentleman? Harold Brewster is in Tustin, California. Harold, how are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you.
And Harold, you know Mr. Green?
Yes, I do. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you tell us, Harold, what your wife said to you after she came out of the market?
Yes, I was waiting in the car, and my wife came out, and she said that she was visibly shaken.
Can I ask a question?
No, you may not. I want to finish my point, and then you certainly are welcome to. She was visibly shaken. My wife is an attractive woman. She's a former model. And she'd been a former beauty pageant contest winner and these kinds of things.
Right.
And I said, what's wrong? And she said, the gentleman in there, and she said she thought it was the manager, asked her if she knew where the corn was. And she said, to be honest with you, honey, I answered. I said, what did you say? And she said, the corn is wherever, and then she crooked a thumb at Mr. Green. R.
What?
Yeah, that's for the part I didn't get out.
Wait, what did she say?
She basically said, wherever you are, that's what a corn is. Green took that to mean that was his opening.
Yeah, to me, that meant it was an entree to more, you know, another joke.
Now, she was saying cornball.
That's what my wife said she meant. Wherever the cornball is, that's where you is. Or that's where you are.
Well, when I said, do you know where, can I show you where the corn is? She said, I already know. It's where you are. I said, all right, now you're talking. And then she wheeled and walked out.
Well, that sounds to me like she wasn't thinking of anything other than to get away from you.
Oh, okay, Phil. So you know all about corn jokes. Okay. Oh, Jesus, wow. Don't let your girlfriend know that.
All right, here's the thing.
You know what? I want to say something if I could.
Go ahead, Robert.
I think you're turning all of this around to make you look good. You settled the case.
and you settled it for a fair amount of money, too, and you had to pay them off.
There you go. That's it, what the young man just said. We made a lump sum in this thing.
And you guys didn't want me to divulge the specifics of the settlement.
That's right, but I heard you open your yap, and you know full well that you settled with us.
Well, I settled, and I to this day, I don't know why I settled. I said, do you know where the corn is? She said, sure, wherever Sugar Britches is. And
did she say Sugar Britches?
No, but that was the intent.
Okay. And how long did this, I'll ask you, Mr. Brewster, how long did this take?
Beginning to finish, this was a 4-year lawsuit.
And that's a lot of money.
You better believe it. It cost my family plenty. And this guy here, Green, who runs a big corporation.
All right, so I can keep the meter running on a lawyer. Next time, you may want to think about that. I don't say that as a threat.
Look, anytime my family's threatened, I will take anybody to court that I feel that I should.
Oh, your wife was threatened, sir? I asked her if she knew where the corn was. Ha ha. And she said, you know, homeboy. I don't know what she said. She didn't say homeboy.
All right, Bob, even in defeat, you're trying to turn this into victory.
That's why I'm Bob Green. I turn defeat into victory. I'm Bob Green.
Yeah, with your $15,000 hair system.
You know something.
Well, Bob, I thank you very much, because we still have one more lawsuit, Mr. Brewster, we have to talk to Mr. Green about.
Yeah, well, I believe it. I'll bet you've got plenty of those.
Yeah, see you later, Brewster. Enjoy your money while you can.
Oh, baby. I'll tell you something.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Brewster. Good to talk with you. Robert Green on the line with us. We'll continue with him. There was one other lawsuit.
Now, which is the next one?
This one has to do with the graffiti in the women's head there.
Well, he put posters of himself up.
Yeah, well, this was more than that. This was graffiti referring to a body part of his, and he then drew arrows to that, and then his comment, a bunch of childish stuff.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do with graffiti. You got to draw an arrow and then go, yeah, but...
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do with graffiti? Well,
But I tell you what, you can fill us in on the graffiti protocol.
Well,
you look at Dickman, we're not trying to figure out how to write graffiti good. We're trying to figure out why to keep people from acting like jackballs.
All right, we'll be right back here on the Gil Gross Show. This is Phil Henry filling in for Gil Gross. We have a look at traffic right now and Dina Lawrence. In for Gil Gross, it's Phil Henry here, the Phil Henry Show, and if we might take just a moment to tell you that we're very happy to be in for Gil, we want to let you know about our website, philhenryshow.com. Our show is primarily a digital show. That means it is a podcast. It's available for download. It is available for download and for listening and for sharing with friends. If you'd like a subscription to our website, which gives you close to 20,000 hours of pretty legendary crazy radio, you can head on over to our website and get a subscription. There's all kinds of different levels of subscription from 1 month to 6 months to a year. You can get all access, which includes the video cast that we have of our show. In fact, we're doing a video cast right now for Kix to subscribers. And
but I know that's the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, but it's not. It's a tape.
I know that.
All right. Well, though we were having a hard time letting the general know that. But you can do all of that by going to philhenryshow.com. You'll get, as I mentioned, close to 20,000 hours of full radio shows going back almost close to 20 years now. You'll also get our video cast archive. You'll get all kinds of archived miscellany, like interviews we've done, TV pilots we've done, press conferences, shows, all kinds of stuff. It's there at philhenryshow.com. And again, if you want to download our podcast, you can go to SoundCloud, you can go to iTunes, all kinds of places where we make it available to you. And that is about 5 or 6 days, right, Bud?
Yeah, about 6 days worth, and then it goes behind a paywall, and then you better pay for it and everything.
Well, I'm not better pay for it.
Yeah, you better pay for it.
All right, fine. Anyway, about 6 days worth of downloads, and then, you know.
Yeah, then you better pay for it.
Okay, fine. Robert Green is joining us. Oh, by the way, one other thing. At 6 o'clock, we'll bring Bobby Dooley in very briefly. She interviewed Patty Arquette, who is a, the Academy Award winner.
Well, Patty Arquette is a tremendous actress, one of the greats, very underrated actress. Certainly her sister Rosanna gets a lot of publicity.
Yeah, her sister Rosanna, on account of she went out with Peter Gabriel and a lot of guys like that.
True, yeah. Rosanna is the one that probably is the... And David gets a lot of publicity.
Yes, but Patty is the... She's a great talent, and she won Best Actress for Boyhood, and obviously how Bobby Dooley got this interview, I'll never know, but, you know.
Well, let's not, we're talking about jealousy here.
Yeah, let's not go down that road.
Boy, the day that I'm jealous of her, that's going to be a day that the nuns go ice skating with the devil. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Let's get back on here, Robert Greene, as we continue to wrap up. In the world of lawsuits, a very interesting thing, I think, because they are long, they're tedious, they're very expensive, but they do end eventually. And in the case of Mr. Greene, he wanted this time to mention that two lawsuits that had been filed against him and Fraser Foods have been wrapped up. Neither one, I should say, Bob, were very... They didn't make for good publicity.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right, Phil. They didn't make for good publicity, but let me tell you something. We went ahead and we wrapped these up. We settled for a certain amount of money because I didn't need a lot of people continuing to talk about this stuff. I did what I did. We didn't think that I... And there's no admission of guilt. No admission of guilt. And I'd like to just say that. So you can't say that, quote, I settled. All I did was I said, here's some, you know, is money going to take care of this? And naturally, they said, yes, it would.
All right. And I bet you, and I did have Mr. Brewster on the line, who was the husband of the woman that you were alleged to have sexually harassed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Use the word alleged. I said, can I show you where the corn is? There isn't a woman in America that is going to hear that phrase and think anything other than what a nice, helpful man. And how lucky I am that the manager of the store, who is on the level of a celebrity in a grocery store,
So you're saying that grocery store managers are on the level of celebrity as celebrities would be, for instance, here in this world. Are you there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. I just walked out into the store area here. I'm just checking to make sure that my produce managers aren't. Are you guys doing the dog here?
Well, I didn't do anything.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. What are you guys doing?
I was listening.
Yeah, these guys are listening to the show. And I told you guys I want those melons, everything.
I just want to see that.
It's none of your business, okay? We settled and that's it. I see any one of you guys dogging it, and I don't want any corn cracks to any of the women.
Roger.
All right, so...
See, you're having to remind your employees not to make these kinds of comments.
No, I just want to make sure that I don't have somebody standing around, excuse me for saying this, Margaret, a professional pain in the ass...
All right, Bob, I get it. But the fact of the matter is the lawsuit's over. Let's move on to the next one.
Fine, but I just wanted you to know there's no admission of guilt. And when they said, so you're paying them off because you asked her where the corn was, and I said, right. And I don't feel guilty about asking her where the corn is. And
well, you didn't ask her. You said, may I show you?
That's in dispute.
Okay, I'm not going to keep arguing this asinine, idiotic episode in your store. You paid it off. You're not guilty. Can we move on?
Wow.
Jesus, Phil.
Yeah, can we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Now, the next one was when you went up to the ladies' restroom. This is the female employees' restroom there at Fraser Foods. And you saw graffiti on the bathroom stalls there.
Yes, I did, Phil. Now, these are employees of mine. Now, in the ladies' restroom, I had put up posters, which were pictures of myself. And these pictures of myself showed me staring directly out from the picture with the phrase, don't dog it, your break's over, get back to work. Why? Because we had a very high incidence of our female employees messing around in the bathroom, smoking cigarettes, ha ha ha, playing grab ass in the bathroom, all kinds of stuff. And
hold on, what do you mean by grab ass?
You know what I mean. They're just messing around, they're not getting back to work. So I put up posters that said, don't dog it. They had the face of the guy in 1984 because I wanted it to have a very strong image to it.
So in other words, you wanted to intimidate these women.
I'm sorry?
You wanted to intimidate your female employees.
No, I did not, Ms. Gray. I wanted them to know, however, that I did take tardiness seriously. So I go to the ladies' restroom that night because I knew after putting those posters up, they would probably be defaced. And yes, they were.
What happened?
Are you laughing?
A little bit, yeah. What happened?
I went up to the posters, and they'd drawn mustaches on them, and one of them had an enormous you-know-what.
All right, so that's the kind of stuff you'll see in a bathroom.
Hold on for a minute. It had a real big you-know-what, and there was a comment next to it saying, you know for a fact that ain't Greens, with an arrow to it. I think that was, just as you said, General, it was infantile, it was childish. And so I responded saying,
And how could you possibly know that with an arrow pointing to the comment that had the arrow pointing to the large one?
And you're calling their behavior childish.
Whoa. What do you mean, my behavior?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, Steve, that was what I was saying. And when you're going to do graffiti, you're supposed to put an arrow.
You're supposed to put an arrow, huh?
Yeah, if you're living in the world of a jackass, sure, you draw an arrow to some comment. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I mean, that is kind of the protocol. Yeah, that's the protocol.
What protocol?
See, this is what I mean. So, you accused them of behaving childishly, and yet you did.
No, I did not. No, I did. You just heard what Dickman said, didn't you? Let everybody witness what Dickman said. If someone writes a dirty thing and you want to respond to it, you... What are you talking about?
Why wouldn't you just assemble your female employees the next day and say, you see all of this nonsense, this is going to stop, and we're not going to have any more of this. They probably would have a beef with you, though, about those giant posters.
Well, that's what it was about. You know, they didn't like the posters. They didn't like me, in other words, reminding them to quit dogging it, quit doing the pooch and the funky chicken tour, whatever the hell you call it, playing grab ass, and get back to work.
Say, the respect you have for your female employees, playing grab ass... What do you think? This is an episode of Cool Hand Luke?
Hey, General, all I know is that they had that big poster that cost me plenty. They put a mustache on it, a giant you-know-what. They put big ears on it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I guess forget it, you know.
All right, well, Bob...
They put an axe through the head, okay? They painted a fake axe, all of that stuff.
All right, I tell you what, Bob, we are hitting a new hour, and I'm going to have to break it off here. I appreciate very much you being on the program. We were not...
Well, can't we bring him back for the first segment?
I suppose, but we're going to have to reset the whole thing. We'll see. I got a lot of other stuff I got to do, including an interview with Patty Arquette from Bobby Dooley. We got Bobby Dooley coming up. It's the world-famous Phil Henry for our good friend Gil Gross. Very, very proud to be filling in for Gil here. And it's time now for our traffic and our news. Here's the traffic now with Dana Lawrence. All right, and for Gil Gross, it's Phil Henry here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And again, we are a digital show primarily. If you want to listen to more of us, we'd be more than happy to tell you to head on over to philhenryshow.com, also to SoundCloud, also to our good friends there at, what is the name of the place that we're at?
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes, thank you. We did have Robert Greene with us. He was talking about this series of lawsuits. We may have time. I do have Vernon Dozier scheduled, head coach Dozier, who is the head coach of Belmar Academy High School. You know, the football season's over with, but we did see a very interesting discussion recently on 500-yard games.
Now, if this is going to be sports...
Margaret, well, let her do the song, for God's sake.
I want to hear you do the song.
Look, you know, if it's a big pain in the ass, forget it.
No, I mean, I want to hear you do the song, but if we're going to... Do you want to do it now?
I was going to say, if you're going to do your sports talk or whatever it is that you're going to do... By the way, you know this sports talk that everyone's talking about, I guess?
What do you mean everyone talking about? Sports talk is talk.
I know, but it turns out not everyone thinks it's all that. I just want you to know that. Because I saw some of the ratings... I don't know about the San Francisco, but in the Los Angeles market.
Forget it, will you? We're not going to talk ratings. Whatever. So I want to talk about sports.
Yeah, okay, Daddy. Well, can I do my song?
Go ahead. Let's do the song. Here's Margaret Gray now. This is a song that she wanted to sing because of what you were saying, Margaret, because of all the sluts that are...
Yes, we've got a high level. We're at saturation level. We're at slut saturation. And I was influenced by that because of the picture of Kim Kardashian there on what is it called? A prisoner of your love.
On Instagram.
Yes. Entangled in your web.
Hot.
Whispers in the night. I'm captured by your spell.
Capture!
Girls, don't show everyone how many inches on your ass you've added. I'm touched by the show of motion. Should I be fractured by your lack of devotion? Well, should I?
What are you talking about, inches?
She's showing everyone how big the ass gets with Instagram. Oh, you better be good to me. Woo! That's how it's got to be.
Jesus Christ.
Because I don't have no use for what you loosely call the truth. And you better be good to me.
Margaret, this is Frank. Margaret, this is Frank.
Frank, just put a sock in it, all right? Soak it in gasoline and stick it in there.
That's what she said.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Bill.
Oh, you know something, Phil? This blows.
Yeah, this. You know what, Margaret? This is good.
No, this blows a chicken. I don't want...
All right, you know, Margaret...
No, no, not you know, Margaret. Kill the music. Kill this garbage before I vomit blood. God, how I miss Tina Turner.
You know, that's very disingenuous.
Oh, get a load of you with the big word.
All right. Margaret, I was enjoying it until you... Frank was...
What was Frank doing there?
He called in and I said, well, go ahead and say what you want to say. And I put him on a radio.
Is that what you did? You put him on the radio? Well, I would have thought you put him on TV, man. I didn't know... Yeah, I know you did. I just wanted to know how it happened.
Well, it's great. I thought it was good.
No, it was good until I heard Frank. And you guys, you're all mental midgets.
I let you sing that song once before, didn't I?
Phil.
Didn't I?
Yes, but not on this show.
Well, you sang it, and that's all that there... Would you turn that off, please?
Tina, wherever you are, darling, I love your music. I think you are a marvelous... Tina Turner is a testament to womanhood. Today, we don't have women. Today, we seem to have a loose... We have what I would call a loose confederation of fat and ass.
What?
That's what we have for women. A confederation of asses and breasts. But not real women. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Thank you.
Very pretty. All right.
Yeah, okay, smartass.
Hey, very pretty. Vernon Dozier joining us from Belmar Academy to talk about 500-yard passing games. And I know, Vernon, that you didn't see a 500-yard passing game, I don't think. But you certainly played professionally in Canada. And didn't you play just a little bit of professional football in the United States? Or am I wrong about that?
No, Phil, I did not play any professional football in the United States. My professional career extended to the Canadian Football League. I played with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I played with the Ottawa, whatever they were called at the time. I think they were the Rough Riders. I played with two Rough Rider teams in Canada, which was the...
Why'd they have two of them for?
What's that?
Why'd they have two of them?
I think it's because they didn't know that the other one... I don't know. I think there's... in Canada, there...
Well, I think, to be fair, I think there's two different definitions of Rough Rider in Canada.
Yeah, I'll bet there is. I mean...
Oh, shut up.
All right, so...
Well, what are you getting nervous about?
We're getting into an area that I'd rather not... So you played for the two Rough Riders.
Yeah, I was a Rough Rider. How about that?
Why don't you shut up?
Give me a minute, no!
Get in the other room or something, man. Just bug off. So you played for two Rough Rider teams.
Yeah, I played for two Rough Rider teams, and I played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I played for the Winnipeg Boo Babies. I don't know what the hell it was. So then I come down to the United States. Now, here's what happened. You know, during the season, you're all watching the game and everything. Canadian League season ends early. Now, you talk about 500-yard games. You know that the great Norm Van Brocklin...
Norm Van Brocklin threw for one. But Ben Roethlisberger is the only quarterback to throw for two.
That's exactly correct. Ben Roethlisberger threw for two. And I tell you, that's a hell of an achievement. I don't think there's a quarterback alive that wouldn't want to be in that company. And certainly, when you think of the difficulty. But and the other thing, Phil, is defensive rules have changed out over the years.
All right, well, so the bump and run, a lot of different things, contact within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. There have been rules introduced, right, Vernon, that have protected the offense.
Well, they've made offensive football, the more explosive offensive football, a lot easier. For instance, you're able to run the ball easier because they moved the hash marks to the middle of the field. Used to be the hash mark moved out on one side down the other. And
I don't understand. What do you mean hash mark?
The hash marks are those lines that you see on the field where they place the football.
Yeah, they're like the, you know, that's lines that are straight up and down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what am I doing in the phone? I don't know, but I think I really like it. Ow! Goddamn, she hit me right in my...
I'm sorry, I got into the phone by mistake.
Yeah, and then you go ahead and take a nut shot? God.
I'm sorry. Now, what are the hash marks?
The hash marks? Oh, hold on for a minute. Ow, wow, 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 wow. Get me ice, will you?
Why'd you do that?
Because he suddenly thought he was going to get cozy with me on the phone.
Well, why don't you stay out of the phone?
I didn't know.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Oh, thank God. What a shot.
That's why I carry that big heavy belt. Now, what do you mean by hash mark?
I mean by hash mark. You know what? I don't give a crap.
All right, why don't you hold on for about 5 seconds, both of you idiots.
Idiot?
Yes. So we can get to the traffic and other things we have to do, because I want to hear this. Vernon has a perspective, you know.
Well, yeah, he played football in Canada. What the hell's that got to do with looking at the guy here in the United of States?
In a United of States?
You know what I'm saying.
Because he, as a defensive player, he'll give us a little perspective. All right, we'll take a very quick break here. This is the Gil Gross Show. Phil Henry very proudly filling in for Gil. And let's take a look at that traffic now with Dina Lawrence. For Gil Gross, it's Phil Henry and the Phil Henry Show. And just for a moment, I want to tell you about our online store at philhenryshow.com. If you want to get a shot glass, if you want to get a beer mug, or I shouldn't say a beer mug, if you want to get a coffee mug.
You don't have beer mugs.
We don't have beer mugs. You want to get a coffee mug, if you want to get a Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, you want to get a Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt, you want to get a Bobby Dooley keychain, you want to get... we got all kinds of downloads over there. We got 1,000,001 downloads. We have our old best of CDs, the original classic artwork in the original cases, you know, that kind of thing. So head on over there to philhenryshow.com and check out our online store, and it's all there for you. We have Vernon Dozier. Vernon is the head coach of Coach Dozier, as the head coach of Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He's also a member of their board of administration. He's also a senior class advisor, health teacher. I mean, you cover the waterfront, Vernon, huh?
Yeah, it's a full-time job. There's no question about it. It's one, though, that I've enjoyed doing for quite some time.
All right, so let's talk about the days when you were playing defensive football in Canada. You also were a coach in the USFL. Of the 500-yard passers, who would you say is the one that was, I don't know, maybe the best of the best?
That's a very tough question to answer. I mean, look, you know, you have guys, you got Fran Tarkenton, you had Norm Van Brocklin, you had guys with this kid, Ben Roethlisberger, you have the kid with the Detroit. You know, here's the thing that I think of, because people ask me that question all the time. The guy that used to make me want to, you know, you don't want to hurt a man. You never want to hurt a man. But when I played defensively in football, you would have fantasies about certain people because they obviously were very good. And, you know.
What do you mean by fantasies?
He's not talking, Mark, he's talking about football.
Yeah, I'm talking, Ms. Gray, about the, if you will, violent fantasies.
No, I know that, but are they overly destructive?
Well, I suppose they are, but here's the thing. You have to understand, I don't literally want to do this, but you think about a man as he's a little, you know, look, you're a defensive player. You make your money keeping the offense out of the end zone, and when they are scoring on you, you get frustrated. Then you begin to think of certain players and what you'd like to do. Yeah, you understand, Phil?
Yeah, I get it. So is there a quarterback you have in mind?
Oh, yeah, there was. Up in Canada, we had a lot with Ron Lancaster in Canada. He was a great quarterback, and I wanted to hurt him, man. I better not.
Okay,
Well, why are you reluctant to say it? Sounds almost criminal.
No, it's not criminal. It's just...
What about the NFL players?
The NFL quarterbacks, if I played defense in the United States, I was born and raised in the United States, so I've seen American football, obviously. But the quarterback in the U.S. that I would want to just, who would frustrate me would have been Fran Tarkenton. And I've talked to guys, the late, great Merlin Olsen, there are so many, who shared my, you know, view. I mean, they were frustrated by this guy. He was a scrambling quarterback. Deacon Jones, the great Deacon Jones, who was an all-pro every time he set foot on a football field. Deacon Jones wanted her. He wanted to hurt him bad, you know.
Well, look, I mean, there's no question that you, when you get out there on the field, it's a whole different world.
Well, I'm very concerned.
Ms. Gray, it's not like you want to kill a guy, but you get mad at him.
It may be just a football player's mindset on the field, huh, Vernon?
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, sure. You're right, Phil.
Oh, I see. So you're going to clean it up for the girl, huh?
Well, I mean, look. You want me to give it to you straight and dirty? I'll give it to you straight and dirty.
Well, that's the way she's used to getting it.
Ow! Kick your ass.
Watch it.
Don't let him... Ow, I just hit my elbow. That's on you.
Yeah, you're the one trying to grab my nose.
That's the way I like it, huh?
Bud, you brought that on yourself.
Look, I'm going to give it to you straight and dirty, and by that, Bud, I mean language, okay? I'll give it to you right. Yeah, I wanted to rip... man, if I played defensive football in the United States when Fran Tarkenton was the quarterback, I'd want to rip his legs off.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I would want to bury that. I would like to... Let me tell you what we do with our... And I've told you, Phil, before, with our seniors, especially with our new... And next year, I said, I'm going to kick this upstairs. I want to win so bad that what I have our young people do when we lose a game... You know about our grave-digging field.
I know about it. I know it's controversial.
Okay, it can be controversial, but when we lose a game, I have every member of our squad dig his own grave. You know that. And they dig their own graves by headlight. So they start at 7 o'clock at night. We turn on the headlights of about 5 cars. And then we just have the guys stand there and dig. What are you laughing at?
Let the record show you're laughing too, Vernon.
I'm not. No.
I heard you go... Pff.
You did, man.
Oh, okay, Tattletale. Look.
Well, it's funny.
Yeah, the whole idea of the headlights is real funny. Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I'm just telling you, I will not abide losing on my football team, and I'll have them dig their own graves, okay? And then they can jump in, and I have one other player shovel a little bit of dirt in on top of their heads and go, how's that feel, huh? You like that? And they'll say, oh, no, coach, we don't. Yeah, huh, right. Get out, and I want 6 laps around the field. So
you're torturing them.
Oh, give me a break. How's that torture?
Digging their own graves? You don't think that's mental torture?
They know I'm not going to actually bury them. You know something, Henry? You read too many comic books.
Well, I agree with Phil. If that was my son, the Delmonico...
Well,
Gray.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, I will say this with the greatest respect. I doubt seriously whether your son or anyone named the Delmonico... is going to make my squad. I'm Coach Dozier.
Yay!
Shut up!
All right. So, Fran Tarkenton, huh?
Yeah, Fran Tarkenton was another one.
Let's spread this out. Forget about the 500-yard quarterbacks. Any quarterback at all.
Oh, well, the next guy that I wanted to hurt and hurt bad was Doug Flutie. I mean, Doug Flutie, God, how I hated him.
Oh, my God.
Now, you played against him, didn't you?
No, I was too old to play against Doug Flutie, but I coached against him. In the USFL, very, very briefly, when Doug was with the United States, I forget, it was called the whatever the hell it was.
Well, wasn't it the New Jersey
Generals.
Yeah, there you go, it was the New Jersey Generals. I hated his living guts. I wanted to take Doug Flutie, and I wanted to pile drive him head first. And I was a coach, but he was such a tiny little squirt that I could have done it. I could have run out there, and one time I did. And Coach Jeffries, who was our tight end coach, he grabbed me just at the last minute because we had just lost. And
who were you coaching for at the time?
I was coaching for the Portland Breakers at that time.
The Portland what?
The Breakers, the Portland Breakers. And Flutie, and they kicked our ass 6 ways to sunset, and I wanted to go out and pile drive him and just keep going boom, boom, boom. And then my plan was to take my hat off and just hang it from his feet. And then walk off the field, and you just see Doug Flutie's legs sticking up out of the turf with a hat,
Well, that sounds like a real fantasy, friend, but I doubt seriously if that was ever going to come to pass.
Oh, is that right, General?
Yeah, that's right. You sound like you... That sounds like an anger management deal.
It does sound rather violent.
Well, Coach, let me ask some. You know, because I think I understand, you're looking at this as a player, and there were... there was that kind of violent... fantasy among players. You wanted to dominate another player, but to pile drive a guy's head so deep as a coach.
Hey, Phil, if you think I'm alone, let me just say something. If you think I'm going to take the heat for this, there are coaches all over the NFL, all over professional football, who have all kinds of dirty, filthy you wouldn't believe the thoughts they have. And they get so violent that some of us check ourselves in for counseling. I wanted to take all last season off because I'd had so many violent thoughts about wanting to just burn the other school to the ground
Well, you're a competitive guy.
Yeah, okay. I thank you, Phil. I am a competitive guy. But when you want to burn the other school to the ground...
Oh, my God. So that, to me, sounds like a criminal issue.
Here you go again. It's not a criminal issue if you have not committed a crime.
Don't be sarcastic.
A crime.
Yeah, you commit a crime on account of to go to jail before you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I heard from the legal team over here.
Ms. Gray, I never committed a crime, okay? Let me say one more thing, Phil, because I know you got a break. I'm a very competitive guy. If Fran Tarkenen or Doug Flutie or any of these guys wanted to play football, I'm ready. If they want to go home to their mommy, they can do that. Okay?
Well, Coach...
No. That's, to me, that's what it was all about. Do you want to play football or do you want to go home to mama? Because I'll tell you, some of these guys need a bib.
All right, Coach, we're going to break.
Yeah, you do that.
And, Coach...
Well, Phil...
No, not well, Phil, anything. You guys are flipped out. I don't know who's goofier, him or you.
What did I do?
Oh, all of you guys with the criminal this and that guy. Frankly, yeah, I think he is whack. But,
well, he wanted to burn the other school down. Maybe it needed it.
Yeah, maybe they needed a new school.
Get off of his nose, okay?
See, that's the thing that I don't like, the phrase, get off his nose. I want the record to show...
Ms. Gray, if you point up to it...
No, I want the record to show I was never on his nose.
You were pulling his nose. Let's take a break, okay? This is the Gil Gross Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry here, filling in for Gil Gross, and we're very, very grateful. At 6 o'clock, Bobby Dooley has an interview with Patricia Arquette, which we will be, you know, a part of as well. Let's take a look at the traffic right now, and here's Dina Lawrence. All right, thank you. And it's Phil Hendry for Gil Gross, and we are going to have in about a half an hour Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association to be discussing with us. Well, she's going to be talking to, I should say, Patricia Arquette. It was a kind of an interesting little interview that Bobby got, and we wanted to talk with her briefly because the interview took place 2 years ago. And Bobby, I would just ask you, how did you get this interview with Patricia Arquette? And did you know that she was on her way to greatness as an Academy Award winner?
So I don't know if any of us really know the future of any individual that we talk with. We started doing our Bobby Dooley podcast about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I know that Patricia had started following me on Twitter. So I wanted to let people know that because I don't know that people knew that she was following me on Twitter.
Yes, we know that already. Okay, you've said that.
See, this is the problem that I've got, Phil.
All right, if I got to hear the two of you, then I'm throwing somebody out of the room, or I'm throwing someone off the air.
All I'm saying...
If I got to keep hearing from you two...
No, she's had a real problem, because Patricia Arquette follows me on Twitter and not you.
Excuse me, but I think she you know what, I don't care if she follows me or not. Shutters and...
Yeah, Shutters.
And the hotel Casa del Mar, you know what, screw you.
Well, I'm sorry, but she does.
Okay, you know what, Margaret, do you feel like not being involved in this interview?
I just want to say, big deal, she follows you. Doesn't mean...
You're showing a real childish streak here.
You are, Margaret, just let it go.
All right, I'll let it go, but I want the record to show that Laura Silverman...
And Shutters Hotel.
And Shutters Hotel follows me.
All right, great.
Big deal, huh?
No, not big deal. I want to talk to Bobby Dooley, if you don't mind.
Come on, will you let her just talk to Dooley?
You called Mr. Hendry her.
What's that?
You called Mr. Hendry her.
Yeah, well, maybe it applies. So...
Yeah, okay, fine. Real funny.
Let him talk to her, or it talk to her.
Anyway, Phil, do you want me to keep talking?
Please.
So, I sent her a message. I DM'd her, which is what you can do when someone follows you on the Twitter. And I DM'd her, you know.
Yeah, you DM'd her. We heard that.
Okay, knock it off.
Anyway, so then she got back to me and said, yeah, you know, and everything like that.
Okay, so you conducted the interview with her. Now, let me ask you a question. Patty Arquette, Patricia, is she prefers to be called?
Yes, I think it really is better to call her Patricia because now that she's won an Academy Award, I think it's more in keeping with the esteem. I know that know a gentleman over at Channel 19 his name is Goldie Showers, right?
Yeah, Goldie Showers was the newsman at Channel, he was the weatherman.
Yeah, Goldie Showers did weather.
Yeah, well, I expect as much, given his name, but when he won the Emmy...
When he won the Emmy, he insisted for a while on being called Golden Showers, and the people at Channel 19...
It was very crude.
It does sound crude.
All right, well, the people at Channel 19 said no, and he got into a little fit about it, a little ego fit, but he backed down because it was obvious that it wasn't going to work.
Well, anyone with the last name of Showers
Yeah, it was obviously I'm agreeing with you on a lot of things, so maybe you're not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way about you.
Anyone with the last name Showers that would saddle a child with the name Golden should be taken out and excuse me for saying this, Phil, should be taken out and branded, just like a steer. Something that says Jackass or Jackball.
Yeah, well, I go with that. You put a brand right on the guy's ass that says Jackball of the Year. And you do it to the wife, too.
To the both parents.
Yes, because I think you've saddled that child with a hideous name. But that was not the case with Patricia.
No, that obviously was not. Did she insist on being called Patricia?
No, I don't think she insisted, but I think that we wanted to, we wanted to give her that respect.
Talking here with Bobby Dooley, who interviewed Patricia Arquette, the Academy Award winner. You know, she gave that big speech. Her acceptance speech, Margaret.
Yes, I thought it was wonderful.
Well, excuse me, are you...
Yes, I'm interviewing you. I just asked Margaret that.
Right, but...
Oh, so I'm not allowed to say anything?
I'd rather you not. He's interviewing me. What did you call... Is that for me?
Never mind.
No, did that mean me?
What?
What do you think I said?
I heard you say, what a C word.
No, I did not. If you want to know what I said, what a pain in the ass.
Did that mean me?
Yes.
All right. That's all I'm asking.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What if it was C-word?
I'd be okay with that, too.
All right. So anyway, you. What did you think of her speech?
Well, I thought her acceptance speech was wonderful. I think it needed to be said. I think it had to be said. I think it should have been said. And indeed, it was said. She said all the stuff that you say. I don't know a lot about women's rights. I have my hands full as a homeowners association president, and I have 3 sons. But Steve is here, my husband, and so much of the political world, I take my cue from him. I rule the roost here at home at Western States. Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
But when it comes to political stuff, I defer to my husband. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I thought it was... Hi, Mr. Henry.
How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, good. I thought it was, pretty... I don't know...
Yeah, so it was good?
Yeah, it was pretty good, but I also, you don't ever want a woman to be all, yay, because who's going to give the baby a bottle?
Well, that's a good point. My husband thinks that you don't ever want a woman to go all, hey, and...
Well, what does that mean, all, hey?
It means being out there.
Yeah, it means all being political and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Because who'll give the baby the bottle, is that what you said?
Yeah, who puts the bottle in the kid's face and everything like that, and...
Would you ask your husband to get off the phone?
Steve, don't mouth the phone like you're sucking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Give me the phone. I apologize, Phil.
That's all right. It was a very powerful statement. You saw a lot of women. And by the way, this is backed up by the facts, isn't it?
I was going to say, the memos, the email from MGM.
Well, the Sony emails, that was the capper. That was obviously the capper. When those emails became known and you saw the disparity in the money that was paid to the female, to the female as opposed to the male of the, whatever they call them.
The actors?
Yes, yeah, the actors. And that was really, and I think when Patricia saw that, if I may call her Patricia, and I think I may since I've interviewed her.
Well, no, but you're right. When Patricia saw that...
excuse me, but you didn't interview her.
Okay, one more little tiny nitpick like that, ladies, and the whole thing is flushed and we move on to our next segment.
Bill.
One more.
Okay.
Well, may I say that, all right, so I'm sorry I called her Patricia. Ms. Arquette, I think, keyed on that.
Yes, and she saw, and she made that apartment a part of her statement.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I want to say...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Take the phone, Steve. Don't grab it from me.
Yes, ma'am. I want to say, Mr. Henry, that my wife is the head of the Homeowners Association, but I'm the treasurer and vice president. That means that she... Or trust me, and everything.
He dropped the phone.
Well,
I'll take it now. That was your shot. You're done. So, Phil, I really think that it's going to be a good interview.
Now, I don't know if we're going to play all of it, if we're going to play how much of it we're going to play, but we did think we'd drop that on you. People can hear the entire interview by going to philhenryshow.com. And also, we were going to have a Milwaukee Lion. Well, that's a different...
Yeah, I don't know about the Milwaukee Lions, and I could care even less.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
See, and you think I'm the problem.
No, she's a nice lady, but she's very perfunctory and So that's Bobby Dooley in her interview with Patricia Arquette. We'll hear a part of here at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock here. All right, folks, it's time for a look at traffic, and here is Dina Lawrence.
All right, and this is an intro for Gil Gross's Phil Henry. What a great intro for Tom Catton's Health Wagon. Tom, always good to talk with you. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, good morning or good afternoon. You know, Phil, it's difficult for me to keep track of the time. We're all over this great country of ours, Tom Catton's Health Wagon. And the reason why I say it's difficult to keep track of the time is because we have been serving up our delicious juices and the things that we render into juice. You know, Phil, you can take anything and turn it into a delicious juice that is protein-rich, carbohydrate-deep. You'll get all of your aquatics, you'll get all of your minerals, and all of the bone fiber that you need, and plus, you'll have all of the brain inhibitors. So many people go out into the day and you haven't taken your brain juice, what we call the brain juice. Well, all you have to do is take some mushrooms, take some weeds. Believe it or not, take just a handful of garden weeds and mix them in with orange juice, coconut, and just a shaving of lime. You mix all of that up and go out into the yard and find yourself a little bit of dirt. Now, people don't think that that...
Dirt?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You take a little bit of dirt.
Now, wait, hold on for a bit. Tom, this is General Shaw.
General Shaw, can I...
Well, are you saying dirt like...
Yes, dirt has minerals in it. Dirt has minerals, and it has...
What about the fact that some dirt has for instance, worm eggs and vermin and...
Margaret, that is an old wives' tale from way back.
Wait, that's not an old wives' tale, is it?
An old wives' tale or an old wives' tale? Yes, it is, Phil.
But wait, I've got a cat and I've got a dog, and both of them have to get wormed because of all the dirt they're in.
Well, if I were you, I'd keep those animals a little bit cleaner. I'd take care of them better instead of taking your animals outside and making them swallow handfuls of vermin. I don't know what that's about.
Wait. Well, hold on, Tom. I'm saying to you that they're getting it from the dirt.
Yes, they're getting it. Are you a human? Yes, you are. Are you a human, Margaret? You, Bud, all of you, you, all of you out there? Yes, you are. That means you're not going to root around in the dirt like a hog and say to yourself, if hogs can actually think, I think I'll go outside and get a belly full of worms today because I'm a fat, filthy, disgusting hog!
What the hell happened there?
Hey, Tom, are you all right?
No, I'm not. Goodbye.
What happened to him?
I don't know. You upset him, or he's under a lot of pressure.
Are you trying to hang up, Tom? Hey, Tom, are you trying to hang up?
Yeah, I did hang up.
No, sir, you did not, because I can still hear you.
Say that again?
You didn't hang up, because we can still hear you.
Oh, God. There's only so much that a man can take, Phil.
I understand, Tom. I apologize.
Well, how are you talking to me? I've hung up. No, I haven't hung up yet. Can I get someone in here? Rudy, get Jerry to help me hang this up. I apologize. I'll be hanging up momentarily.
Tom, can we stay on the line with you? I want to apologize for upsetting you.
Well, okay.
Tom, this is Margaret. I didn't mean to say anything or to intimate that you don't know what you're doing.
When I say to go outside and get a handful of dirt and mix it in to a blender and drink it, just do it and don't ask questions. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Yes, Tom, we do.
Yeah, Tommy, not a problem. You know, I just...
Mr. Hatton, everybody knows that you know what you're doing.
My name is Catton, not Hatton. Tom Hatton was the actor who also had the child show and showed the Popeye cartoons. He was a wonderful man, but I'm not him. I'm Tom Catton, and I blend...
Yeah, you blend up really tasty drinks.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so you can go out and let's, you know...
Well, now everyone knows that I'm a borderline and a guy that's on the edge and a guy that can't take it. I want people to think that because I drink juices, I'm cool...
Let's pretend like you weren't even on the air.
Oh, sure.
No, let's just pretend. Let's start it all over again. All right, now here is Tom Catton with his, you know, his health tips.
Oh, that's great.
Phil, don't go you know.
You want to run at that again?
Sorry. And now here's Tom Catton with his health tips.
Okay, Phil, thank you very much. And this is your good friend Tom Catton with today's juice tips. And when I say juice, I want to just remind you, J-U-I-C-E, because we got some letters
A lot of you people out there are so full of hate, and I thought I would come up with a juice drink that has no hatred in it. This is a de-hatifying juice, if you can believe it. Now, you take grapefruit, you take a lemon.
Now, this is to keep people from hating, huh?
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Tom.
All right, we start all over again.
You want?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Here's Tom Catton with his juice tips.
Forget it.
What happened?
He's gone.
What is up with that guy?
I don't know.
Here's one for you. Here, try this. Call him back and tell him he'll never be on the show again unless he comes back on the air with me right now. We've been nice to him.
Phil, it's Tom Catton. The guy walks the thin edge.
Let me tell you something, Phil. We knew guys like that in the NOM. You don't want to push a guy like that too far. He's going to go away. One minute they're drinking that grapefruit juice and that wheat germ stuff, and the next minute, they're taking their pants off and running down a freeway. You've got to watch it.
Well, wait, just call him up.
Hey, yeah, Mr. Catton? Yeah.
And tell him I don't want to... Give me the phone. Hey, Tom, it's Phil Henry. Hello? Call him back, will you?
What do you do, hang up?
I guess so.
Don't try to push the guy, Phil.
I won't. Just tell him that we'd like him to come back on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Catton? Yeah, Bud Dickman. Bud Dick on the Phil Henry show? On the Phil Henry show? Phil Henry, you were just talking to him. Phil Henry, just hung up on him. H-E-N.
Are you... Give me the phone. Hey, Tom, it's Phil. Yeah. Listen, I apologize. Whatever went wrong, I'm sorry. You don't think so? What's going on with you? None of my business? All right, fine. You were pretty rude. Okay, you too, pal. Yeah, you too, and...
You know what? I'll tell you one thing. Fruit juice and wheat germ and all that crap, man, I'm swearing that stuff off.